The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Blowing out of the backfield, exploding down the sideline.
This is Hanging with the Boys, presented by Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings. Now, your hosts, Nate Newton, Kurt Daniels, Jesse Holly, and Shannon Gross.
Welcome to the show. It's Thursday and you're looking live.
Oh, my God.
At Tostitos Championship Plaza outside Ford Center at the Star in Frisco, Texas, where it is 57 degrees. The high is 62. The low tonight is 45.
Right.
It's a brisk 57. It feels a lot colder. Yeah.
That's why you got that sexy jacket on, huh?
Yeah. Buffalo is 41. High is 43. The low is 28. And
you got mad layers on. You have a jacket, a hoodie, a button up, a t-shirt. You have anything under the t-shirt?
Nope. Sexiness.
This is a cultural thing, right? Sexiness. Like, what's under your t-shirt? This is random. What's under your t-shirt? Nothing. You just
wife beater.
A wife beater. Yeah. See, black dudes do wife beaters.
I know.
And I know I don't know if we're being politically incorrect when we say wife beaters, but
probably not.
Yeah, but like white dudes either go t-shirt or nothing
or no
at all.
Yeah.
Black dudes go with the white.
See,
what you got a t-shirt?
He'll pull his t-shirt all the way up to the
neck. He is Shannon. That is Nate. This is Zaddy Kurt Daniels. I am Jesse Holly. In the back, we got. Wait a second.
We're
wait a
ready.
Second now.
I'm geek.
Now. In the back, we got Chris B keeping us live. Together, we make Hanging with the Boys, the sports talk equivalent of Braille. People feel us.
Yes, sir.
When we speak.
We coming at you,
brought
man.
To you each and every day by Wingstop, where flavor gets its
wings.
Come on, Dak. Be able to throw them quick passes.
That is.
What's the point?
Point,
of
yeah. Because mine is because of sweat.
Yeah, it keeps more comfortable than this shirt.
And it gets your.
That don't cover anything.
It gets your pit. It keeps you from pitting as much.
Yeah.
I don't have an answer.
I don't either, but I know one thing.
Mark this show. I don't have an answer.
Wow.
Mark this down.
First time ever.
I do not know.
What's today? December 14th, 2023. Jesse did not have an answer.
I don't know why.
It's just something you've always done?
I've always done.
What about you?
It's like generations
Yeah, I switched from that because I got tired of having a shirt on and then this big white.
Yeah, the big tall collar.
Yeah. So I went to V-necks and I have to move this over sometime.
Because if I wear an undershirt I can wear this shirt more than once.
Right.
Because my body didn't really touch it.
Yeah.
My arms did. So I'll wear it two or three times before I have to wash it.
Yeah.
But if I wear that, I'm going to pit all in it or get deodorant on it.
You shave your chest?
No.
No? You rock
Come
the
on,
hair?
Man.
You shave your chest?
Nah.
I don't shave it. I
ain't got no hair on my chest.
You trim yours?
Yeah.
I do too.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm a manscaped.
You know what? If I had full coverage... I would let it go.
Really?
But I have like
King Beef.
Patch here, it gets here, it gets around my nipples, then it gets around my belly,
right,
and then I don't have anything in here, and it just looks weird. So
go to the doctor, and they may can give you something for you.
Have you got a doctor's appointment?
Not yet.
Yeah.
Still
no, seriously, we're going to start finding you.
Like, I'm going to do it.
We're going to start finding you. $25 a day.
I will have an appointment.
You know what we need to do, though?
Talk about football?
Between me
You're not
going
to be able to find an appointment. Everybody's getting their last appointment.
I'm going to go over there and get some tape. We're going to lock him down.
Oh, like how did you back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take you to the doctor. I got a doctor.
Throw me in the van.
Yeah.
Kidnap you.
I know where your doctor's
But
in
you
Mexico.
Know what, Jeff? We got
to
be careful.
I ain't going to that doctor.
Because the wrong cops here. Yeah. I'll be like, Jesse, I don't know. He did it all.
How are y'all today?
Good.
Good?
Yeah.
You ready to talk some football?
Sure.
What are we talking? Cowboys defense today?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Bills offense.
Got that run defense.
Run defense. Lead us off, Kurt.
No Jonathan Hankins. How you gonna plug
what's
that
up
hole?
With that? What are we doing, Nate?
I'm with your boy. That is one of my biggest issues. As soon as this last game was over, I said, people, y'all know we have no Jonathan Hankins. And this is a bigger loss than Van Der Esch will ever be. This kid right here. He is a bigger loss. Because he kept the folks off of all linebackers, Van Der Esch, this young blood from Florida A&M, Marquise, Clark. He is the one that leads this ship in the middle. And we need for Gallimore and the other two guys to step up. I mean, also we need bigger and more plays from you now. Mozzie, I ain't going to tell you to jump offside, but you got to find a way to move quicker, son. You know, so.
How can you work on that? Is it just repetition?
It's a mental thing.
Yeah.
They got this stick. No, seriously, they have a stick with a football on the end
of
it.
Yeah, you move it, right?
He should spend 2 hours in practice every day. Don't worry about practicing. Just go over to the side with a GA, somebody, and we gonna do that hut all day long.
Or when the guys are on the jugs machines for 20 minutes after practice,
he should be working on that.
Go do that.
Yeah.
Is that how you get better? Just repetition, getting used to the ball moving.
But my thing is
twitch?
Like,
because I know
you've been doing this all your life. Like to get off the ball, like it's one thing. Like this is the part where I don't give grace. It's one thing to give grace and saying, you know what, he hasn't really equipped himself yet with pass rushing moves or understanding leverage or fully understanding keys to the offensive line. Those are learning things.
Yeah.
Getting off the ball. That's like Jalen Tolbert last year when he lined up offsides and Kadarius Toney. That is football 101. Yeah. You are the closest man to the football outside of the center. You can actually hear the quarterback say hut. Mm-hmm. You're looking in at the football, or at least have a peripheral. You at least have that.
Mm-hmm.
Looking in at the football. I don't understand how you're consistently late off the ball. Like that to me.
Is it a physical thing? It just doesn't have the twitch or whatever?
Like I joked about it before, but is there actually, and the reason why I say this, back when I was training receivers and tight ends coming out of the college into the NFL, I had a receiver, I had a tight end, went to the second round pick to the Jets, Chase Aramo from Texas Tech. And I worked with Jason. One thing that I noticed, it always seemed as if the ball surprised him. And like he would go across the field, like the ball would come and he would, like, he was jumping to catch the football. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, hey, bro, do you wear glasses? Like, do you wear glasses? He's like, yeah, I got contacts, but I never put them in. I said, it makes sense now. You can't see the ball coming.
Hmm.
So by the time your eyes actually pick up and track where the ball is at, it's surprising you.
Yeah.
And so there may be something audibly or visually that he just, I don't know what it is, but for him to consistently be late off the football, I'm almost to Nate's point. If I'm Dan Quinn, I go, okay, kid, first one's on me. Go. Just when you think, go, just jump up. Like, just, I want you to think about getting out of your stance mm-hmm. so fast that if you jump off sides, the first one's on me. The first one I'll take.
Yeah.
But just focus on getting off the ball. And then once you get off the ball, just create havoc. Just go in there, guns a-blazing, and create as much havoc as you possibly can. Because if you get off the ball late, I don't care how strong you are. You're not going to defeat offensive linemen in this league.
It was noticeable to me the last game. And for me to notice something on the football field, it's got to be a glaring issue, right? Right?
Sure.
Yeah. But, I mean, I noticed it. I wasn't even looking for it, but everyone else was moving. By the time he came up off the ground, I was like, okay, that looks a little weird.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that on the show. So that's – It's a big deal if I notice it.
And the first three plays when Hankins went out, they ran right up the gut. Philadelphia did. First three plays, boom, boom, boom. And so it's on film.
Yeah.
It's on film.
Is there anything they can do schematically to kind of fill that gap?
Yeah. Or
you just got to hope.
Put Mozzie on the sideline.
So it's just a matter of whoever that player is going to, he has to do his job. There's no other way. Like, you know, in some positions you can kind of help out here or there. There's no way to help.
Mm-mm.
Mm.
What's your option? Other option? You don't have? Do you have another option?
You got Neville Gallimore. You got the guy, Carl. Got, what's his name? Carl
Davis.
Carl Davis.
You got Osa, but he's more of a penetrator, reading on the run, penetrating, getting across.
Chauncey.
His thing is opposite of Mozzie. He is quick off the rock.
Mm.
You know,
but he's not as strong. Is that the case?
Neville Gallimore has to show up, man. He has. He what's out of all these guys.
What's happened to Neville?
It just they're trying to work in a young guy, and Ozzy and Hankins just took over. Mm. Osa, and Hanks just took over.
Neville seemed like he was breaking out, and then he hurt his elbow, wasn't it? I don't know if he's ever quite been the same.
Come back after that. Okay. All right, let's talk about your guy, Josh Allen.
You know, I was telling Josh, man, I'm telling Kurt, I'm like, I hate this guy. I hate him and I love him. I just don't know what to do with him. You know, he's just like a bad boyfriend or girlfriend or something, you know? You love them to death for what they do for you sometimes, and you hate when they stray off on you.
What do you think is, because Kurt's favorite website, PFF, has Allen ranked second among quarterbacks, second in passing touchdowns, and seventh in yards, 3,447. Also has the most interceptions.
That is the key. This guy will throw two interceptions in the first quarter and then spend the rest of the game making it up.
What causes that?
I don't know. Jess, you looked at it sharp enough to know. I just think he's so confident in his arms.
He thinks he can make every throw?
Yes, you know.
But the way I – because sometimes when I watch film, I try to say, okay, Jess, what catchy phrase can you put together to kind of – because I do a pregame show, I do a postgame show, I do these shows. So you try to always find something that kind of gives a good analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And the analogy that I came up with...
Brace yourself.
No, this is...
Brace yourself. Sometimes these come out sideways.
No, this is... I hope not. But Josh Allen is a person who owns a bazooka, but has bad gun safety. Like, he just doesn't follow the gun rules.
Hmm.
Right? Like, he points it at you when he's not supposed... And so he has an arm cannon. He has bad gun rules.
Arguably the strongest arm in the league, right? But
hands down. Him and Patrick Mahomes probably have the two strongest arms in the league.
And Herbert a close third.
Yes. The problem with Josh Allen is when you hurry him, when you make Josh Allen kind of have happy feet, right? If he can stand in the pocket, like he has all the intangibles, big, strong arms, he'll look you off. You know, he'll see he can make every single throw. It's when Josh Allen gets sped up and you see him kind of like he's moving, he's like pump faking, he's doing all that kind of stuff. Because what happens is a guy will flash in the color of his uniform, and in his mind he goes, I got a bazooka. Right? I got a bazooka, but he ain't worried about civilians. He just gonna shoot this bazooka and I see my guy down there. The hell with the civilians. I'm letting it go. And sometimes the collateral damage is the ball gets intercepted.
Does he think that he can
every throw
make the throw?
Every
or
throw.
Or does he think that his receivers are good enough to go make the play?
Both. He thinks that my arm, and this is the arrogance of his greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers had this. Brett Favre had this.
As we're speaking of, he's on NFL Network.
Patrick Mahomes. He has this, right? And they believe that my arm is so talented because
Brett Favre was the worst, right?
Brett Favre will throw you in a game
and out of
and throw you out of a game, right? Brett Favre can have 350 yards, three touchdowns, four interceptions.
Yeah,
you don't know what side of the ledger go. It was great games, terrible game. You know, at the end of the day, you hope they win. But that's the thing about Josh Allen. He has this this arm cannon, and in the back of his mind, I can make every throw, and I can fit it in there. I can put. I can eye the needle, right? I can get that thread through there and really deliver the football. And, you know, what ends up happening is that sometimes he's right and sometimes he's wrong. But the part that Nate's talking about is why you hate a quarterback like this. No play is ever over. None. Mm-hmm. So when you think, you know, normal principles for a DB or a linebacker or a safety is, all right, cool, we covered the initial 1, 2, 3. Four, you know, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like the dropbacks, right? 1, 2, 3. Oh, we covered them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, we covered it. You got to cover 3 more seconds, 4 more seconds, because you're not just bringing them down by one guy a lot of times, right? Even in the grasp of a D tackle or a defensive end, he still thinks I can make the throw. Even while he's in, like I said, he's in the pocket, and this is where he gets in trouble, is because he'll get in the pocket and he'll get to scrambling, and all of a sudden he'll lock in on a guy, and his eyes will say, like, here we go. Like, and he'll try to fire one in there, and not realizing that there were other guys who were watching where your eyes were at, and they intercept the football. And so, but you don't play proper containment, he'll take off and run. And he's not the type of quarterback, if you think you hit him one time and he's going to freeze up, no, he's not. He's tougher than your toughest quarterback. He's as athletic as any of your other, he's as athletic as Lamar Jackson.
He's 6'5", 237.
Mm. He's bigger than most of your DBs.
Dak is 6'2", 238. Mm-hmm. So
he'll hurdle you. Mm-hmm. He'll jump over you. He'll do whatever it is, whatever it takes to make a play. And that's the thing. Like, the play is never over with him, even when it should be. Even when it should be, Josh, just throw it out of bounds. Just let it, let's live to see another day. In his mind, I can fade out of bounds like he did in a game and try to throw it, like, curve the bullet and throw it around the player. Like, the play is never over with Josh Allen.
So just like Cowboys fans, up until probably the last seven games of this season, Dak drives Cowboy fans crazy for various reasons. Josh Allen is probably driving the Bills fan base crazy for different reasons.
If you're a Bills fan, you probably go through
love, hate.
You go through this series at least 12 to 14 times a game. You go, No. Oh, okay, good play.
Best throw ever.
Yeah, like you go through the roller coaster of emotions sometimes with Josh Allen, because you'll go like, oh, he's caught. Oh, no, he's not. Okay, go. Oh, no, don't throw. Oh, go, touchdown. And, like, that's the energy that you have to deal with Josh Allen, because you think he's caught, then he's not. You see him scramble, and all of a sudden now, late down the field, here comes Gabe Davis. Here comes Dalton Kincaid. Here comes Stephon Diggs. Here comes Shakir. I mean, oh, and by the way, once we lift everyone down the field, we're going to just drop the ball off to Dalvin's little brother, James Cook. Mm. And now he gets it. They throw to him purposefully, to the running backs. Like, this is an offense, by the way. Even when watching this game, the games, you can't even go too far back, because if you remember, they fired Ken Dorsey. Dorsey, and they elevated Joe Brady. Joe Brady, LSU, kid. He, talking about you, he was the offensive coordinator at LSU when the rise of Burrow. Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. Then he came to the league, and he's been working in the league, and now he's the offensive coordinator from there. You're going to see a ton of pre-snap motion, right? And that was one of the things that's kind of hurt the Cowboys. When you think pre-snap, think San Francisco. A lot of motions. Yeah. You can bet your bottom dollar that there's going to be a heavy amount of motion, right? You're going to get the three receiver sets. They got Knox and Dalton Kincaid, right? Two tight ends. So they're going to – they stress you so much is because Gabe Davis is a weapon. We already know what Stephon Diggs is, the speed of Shakur, the ability of James Cook out of the backfield, and then you have Dalton Knox. Dalton Kincaid and Knox, the two tight ends. So he has a ton of weapons to throw to, and they have a decent offensive line. This is a good football team. The seven is their roster, the playmakers they have. Are not indicative of the 7-6 record. They're a better football team than 7-6.
All right, let's take our first break. By the way, PFF has, or Pro Football Reference has, Dak's nickname is the Fortress. Have you ever heard that?
Fortress?
The Fortress.
Never heard of that.
That's what I'm saying, man. Sometimes your people get a hold of stuff and they just ruin it.
Your people.
All right. We'll let Nate talk when we come back on the second segment of Hanging with the Boys.
Fall is here, and that means football is back, bringing all the delicious game day foods with it. As you prep for all the big games, tailgates, and watch parties, let Yo Quiero be your one-stop destination for all things home gating.
Yokiero's fresh, flavorful, ready-to-serve guacamole made with real Hass avocados will score taste bud touchdowns as you cheer on the Cowboys. Yokiero's wide range of mouth-watering and versatile products can be found in your local grocery store's produce or deli section. Grab some today.
Star Sports Tours is the only official fan travel partner of the Dallas Cowboys, offering exclusive game weekend travel packages with pre-game sideline access and photo ops with current players, cheerleaders, and Cowboy legends. You want to stay at a team hotel, attend the best tailgate party in Texas, tour the Star, and talk X's and O's with me, Everson Walls? With Star Sports Tours, you can. Visit CowboysTravel.com to book your travel package today.
SeatGeek has your back no matter what kind of Cowboys fan you are. So whether you're a diehard fan or a don't-really-care fan, a we-got-them-next-time fan or we'll-never-win-again fan, a here-for-the-tailgate fan or a first-one-through-the-gates fan, SeatGeek not only makes buying and selling tickets easier than ever before, they made just about everything else easier, too. So whether you're a here-every-week fan or haven't been here in years fan, SeatGeek has you covered. Download the SeatGeek app today. SeatGeek, your ticket to great Dallas Cowboys seats.
How's Wingstop sound? Crispy, juicy, classic wings. Made to order, cooked to perfection. And sauced and tossed in those 11 soul-satisfying flavors. Paired with hand-cut seasoned fries, house-made honey mustard, blue cheese, or signature Wingstop ranch. And, of course, spicy Cajun fried corn. I think you've heard enough. Get your flavor delivered at Wingstop.com.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to Hanging with the Boys.
Welcome back to the second segment.
To the same old show.
What's his name? Casey? Casey? His name's Casey?
Yeah,
Casey. Casey, if you can hear us out there, you can go back and you can watch our show, right? You can go back and come stand by the window. Come stand by the window.
Yeah.
So now, later on, you can go back and watch our show. Which camera can we see him out of? If Kurt talks? Kurt?
Move that way just a little bit. Okay. To your left. There you go.
All right. So Kurt, if you go back.
Kurt, you just covered him up.
You covered him up. So now, if you go home and you watch Hanging with the Boys, you'll find this moment where we're talking to you live on air and they can see you in the camera. So you can cut this out and show all the kids at school, all the kids on the block, and be like, yo, they showed me love down there at the Cowboys and on Hanging with the Boys. All right?
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, big guy. Yeah.
Thanks for coming to visit, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Second segment brought to you each and every day by Blockchain. Thank you, blockchain.com. And before we move on, you mentioned offensive line. Nate, what are you seeing out of the offensive line? Are our defensive guys going to have their hands full this game?
Oh, yeah. These guys can run, and they prefer to maul you. I don't know if that quarterback can hand the ball off enough to make a difference, but they can run the ball. They can get ugly. I like the kid Cooks that you talk about, James Cook. But he don't run tough enough for me. Now, he got a 4.8 yard average, but and I guess he does it the way he does it. But Murray is his backup. If he just can run a little tougher, you know, a little bit harder. And he has a tendency in the biggest of moments to drop balls. They'll put him in a great – I saw one game in Philadelphia where he beat a dude on a wheel route. I mean, this kid dropped the ball on him, and he dropped it. Then I saw him another time coming out of the backfield. And I'm like, come on, Cooks. These are plays that can make you a difference maker. And I think a lot of times guys just don't understand. Maybe he wanted to take off too soon or whatever. But, man, get that ball in your hands. He's got talent. But I don't know how physical he is, you know.
Yeah, he's not the physical back out of the two. You know, if you guys remember Latavius Murray, they called him the L train.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Spent a lot of time in Oakland when they were the Oakland Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
He's the bigger of the two backs. So he's more used as a guy to kind of display the physicality. Now,
right.
He's a little bit longer in the tooth, right? He's an older guy. Like, no, Latavius Murray's been around.
No longer the tooth.
He's been around for a while. Like,
is he with the Vikings?
He's 30, and the Vikings
and
as well.
New Orleans, too.
Yeah, and New Orleans. Yeah, he's 33 years old. So they use him sparingly,
right?
But the thing that about James Cook is what they do with him is, yes, he'll run up in between the tackles, he'll run outside, but it's the – it's the purposefulness that they'll use him in the passing game. You'll see him run some what they call Texas routes or choice routes out of the backfield. You'll see him run the screens. You'll see him run seam. He caught a touchdown against the Chiefs right up the seam. Right up, I mean, wide open. He was butt naked, wide open, up the seam. You see him run rail routes up the sideline. So they use him in a way to to create mismatches. They do a really good job, and again under Joe Brady, it's different. It's a different offense under Joe Brady than it was under Ken Dorsey, and you see a lot of it looks Niner-ish. It looks a little bit Niner-ish. The pre-snaps, the setups. I think Josh Allen has more available options the way the plays are being called now than he did when Ken Dorsey was calling the plays. Yeah.
James Cook is fifth in running back receiving yards.
Yeah.
So that's pretty dangerous to get out.
Huh? Yeah. But this is – if there's an area for the Cowboys defense where I'm like, cool, glad we got this guy on our football team, it's Marquise Bell. It's having a linebacker now
that can cover
a guy like James Cook. You know, it's different than having LVE or some other linebacker who is a traditional linebacker and is kind of more so in the box and don't have to cover up the sideline. And again, because you may get out there and cover him initially, right? And you go, oh, all right, cool, I'm done. And then all of a sudden, Josh Allen breaks containment, and you go, oh, snap. I got to cover him for 15 more yards.
Yeah.
And if you take a breath or let down, Josh Allen can make that throw. There isn't a throw that he can't make. I mean, you watch games, he's throwing under guys' arms. He's in the grasp of players throwing it. And, you know, the off-platform throws are part of just who he is and his genetic makeup.
Yeah. You think you brought it up before a while back that think Josh Allen's got a little revenge on his mind?
Mm. Are you referring to the Trayvon Diggs tweet about Stephon needed to get out of Buffalo?
Mm-hmm.
If Josh Allen has any competitive nature in him, and I believe that he has at least a little bit in him, he has a whole lot in him.
Then that bothered him.
That bothered him. Hmm. He has those tweets printed out. He has those tweets saved in his phone, maybe hanging up in his locker.
Don't you wish Trayvon was playing this week?
I do.
Mm-hmm. It'd be so juicy.
I do. I do. But I do like in the land of petty that we live in today, like just as a universe, I could not think that Josh Allen does not have that in the forefront. So this is what Trayvon thinks? Mm-hmm. Trayvon thinks that his brother is better off without me not being here, that his brother made me. Like, I just feel like, you know, that is fueled. But there's also, someone sent a tweet the other day, it was when Buffalo beat the Cowboys a couple years ago, it was those guys on the sideline mimicking Dax, you know, his warm-up. So there is some competitive juices in here, some pettiness in here, and I think, but to answer your question, Kurt, 100%, I do think that Josh Allen will have that.
Let me tell y'all something.
In his mind.
Tell us. Talk to us.
Go ahead.
We all love us some Trayvon Diggs. We love your daddy, son. Trayvon, as you called him. But boy, if Josh Allen on and big brother running routes, I promise you gonna eat him alive.
Yeah.
This kid, I hate him.
Josh or Stephon?
Josh Allen. Because Stephon. Stephon did bring him up right with the quarterback coach. That's New York. This kid is missing that, and I'm glad he's missing that. You know, I don't know what Joe going to do with him. I don't know what Coach Brady going to do with him. I don't know if he can connect with him. But if this guy stopped throwing interceptions and become aware, not running too fast. Like I heard Brian talk about it, because I kept like, he's got his priorities mixed up. And Brian broke it down. Brody said he runs too soon. He always looking to run too soon instead of sometimes taking that second read. Slowing his feet down. Like you say, Jesse, quick sometimes, you mm-hmm. know. Slow down, read, you know. And I don't want to – and it seems like I'm with this kid. I am. This league lacks great quarterbacks. Mm. And he was on the trajectory. But now he's helter-skelter. I hope he helter-skelter at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock, you know, yeah. Sunday. But if he's not, well, we in for a fight.
Yeah, if he decides to be patient, like – that's where he gets in trouble when those feet get to moving and he's kind of he's turning to an athlete instead of a quarterback, because he can be a quarterback who's athletic, but when he turns into an athlete who can throw, that's when he gets in trouble. And that's the Jekyll and Hyde of who Josh Allen is. It's when he stands tall in that pocket and he's calm.
So is the key to get pressure on him and get to him early?
And chirp at him a little bit.
Yes and no.
I knew that.
No, because here's the thing. In order to get pressure means you got to spend some man-to-man coverage in the back end. And so if you're going to send pressure, you damn sure better get there.
Don't miss.
Because, again, they have weapons. Stephon Diggs is probably in the conversation for me. This is Jesse Holly. For me, as one of the top five route runners in the league, right?
Like, he's cold blooded, man.
He can run routes, and he is going to he wants bragging rights for little bro too. Like, even a little bro not playing, he wants to bragging rights. He wants to let little bro know, oh, and if you were here, you'd have got this too. Yeah. Like I'm a do to them what was supposed to be done to you. So cool. So Gilly or Bland, I'm gonna do to them what you would have got, little bro. Again, Khalil Shakir. I've been a fan of Gabe Davis for a while. Big target, you know, makes big plays. And then the tight ends. He has two really good tight ends that you have to always keep an eye on. But if you get there, you get there. Right, and you kind of rattle him a little bit, but you got to get home. You got to get home, because if you miss, he gone. Yeah. He gone. Mm. And you know, you can look up and he'll have 30, 40 yards rushing from scrambles. So it's timely. It's be timely. If you watch the Kansas City game, Kansas City, they threw some timely blitzes at him. Right, mix it up a little bit. And when you blitz him, I think if you're going to blitz him, blitz him more with skill guys, because you have to match the athleticism. Right? So if I'm going to blitz him, I'm going to blitz him with Donovan Wilson.
Don't miss.
I'm going to blitz him with Jayron Kearse.
Don't miss.
I may blitz him with Jordan Lewis off the edge. I want to blitz him where when he puts his foot in the ground or when he decides to do a little shimmy, that I can have a guy that matches the shimmy in with him. Because if I blitz Clark, then that might get a little shaky. You know, if I blitz a, you know.
I don't know about with Javon. The reason I say that, because he is so strong that if Jay Lou don't come with everything
he leaves the ground, he's
going to step up. But I'm just saying being able to match athleticism with athleticism, because if you send a big old stiff, good luck.
Could be bad news. All right, let's take our last break. When we come back, more Cowboys, Bills.
That was brought to you by Blockchain.
On Hawk. Honking for the Bulls. We'll be right back.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys.
And they snap it to Prescott, who looks right. It's not there. He escapes left. He'll run for a first down.
Just like football, when it comes to crypto, it's important to have a team you can trust. With Blockchain.com, I know I'm in good hands. Since 2011, they've been trusted by millions around the world to buy, sell, and trade cryptocurrency.
Prescott's going to run this himself. Run it up the middle, and he scores.
Whether you're new to crypto or an active trader, they've got you covered. What are you waiting for? Get started at blockchain.com.
How's Wingstop sound? Crispy, juicy, classic wings. Made to order, cooked to perfection, and sauced to
better and better.
Is it?
It's a lot.
Like, go like this.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's a lot better. You punched somebody, didn't you?
No. I'll tell you after the show. I did not punch anybody. We are Hanging with the Boys, and each and every third segment is brought to you by Jigsaw, the official
Jigsaw
partner of the Dallas Cowboys.
Dating partner.
All right, Malik Hooker battling an ankle injury. Didn't practice yesterday, limited today. How much does that concern you guys if he's out against this team?
What is what is that guy's name?
Wanye Thomas.
Wanye.
Yeah, we got him. We got guys that can fill in. Yeah, I'm not gonna say we good. I'll let Jesse go a little bit more, but we have enough safeties, I think.
We got some depth this year.
Yeah, we got some
at every position, right? But, like you can absorb one or two of these, as to where past years, it's like, oh,
this late in the season, it's good to have that depth. But I always try to caution people is the depth and talent ain't always the same, or the knowledge ain't always the same. So where Coach Quinn has been perfect is he's been able to put guys in profitable situations where they can succeed. So, you know, you don't want too many more bombed up ankles and, you know, high sprains like what's happening to the Hankins, because we finna find out, fellas. Because like Jesse said, as soon as he went out, Mozzie got tested. And Gallimore will get tested. Mozzie will get tested. Those are the two guys you're depending on. So,
and anytime you have a starter go out, what now happens, you know,
stress.
If he was playing 60%, 70% of the reps, now that backup who was used to playing 30 or 40% of the reps, now their workload doubles, right? And there's two sides to every story, because the workload could double and he can make double the plays, or the workload can double and now there's more areas for him to make a mistake. And then now the guy who was backing up the backup moves now to the backup. And when he comes in, what can I do now? Because
when he comes in for that 30% that he was getting 0%, right?
0%. Yeah. And then now I'm so because the guy who's the third, who was third on the depth chart, who now moved up to second, he ain't getting that many. He has not been getting that many reps in practice. So as a play caller, especially in the trenches, does the guy now, when he's getting those 30 to 40% reps, can I make the same calls? Right? Can I make the same calls while he's in the game? And if I do, can he, in those moments, have success in the plays that I called? Because he's not used to running these plays. He's not used to doing these things or playing this many snaps, whoever it may be. So that when you have to go to a backup, that's all the things that come into play is this person or player ready to go out there and do what we need to do? And being in the trenches at times, you go the wrong way, it's a gaping hole, and now that can be a big play. It's always those things when you go back and look at it, you go three or four plays in that game, and that's where they come from.
And that's that mental part where the smarter coaches are kind of leaning on the older vets, you know, at that third and fourth position. And always a young guy, somebody you drafted, a free agent, because as the season go on and you lose a player, like Jesse said, and everybody elevates their time, because that mental part, like you said, that mental part becomes so big to maybe that third guy sitting on your practice squad who haven't been elevated all year, say, hey, Shannon, we need you now because we need your mental part of the game, because we know you're going to know where to line up. Whereas a young guy, he'd be like, I'm excited. I'm going to hit somebody, but you may hit the wrong guy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So when it comes to that, Jesse, that's a good point. You're the reps and can I make this play call? When it comes to those decisions as far as, like, making those calls, is that your position coach communicating with the D coordinator and going – or is that the D coordinator making that call by himself?
In our situation, it's the D coordinator. And I say that because if we're talking specifically about the front, where have we always seen Dan Quinn when he's not being a defensive coordinator? He working with the D-line.
Yeah.
He down there in the trenches. So he know. Mm-hmm. Like, that's his specialty.
Yeah.
So he understands and knows who can do what, how much they can take on, you know.
So it depends on how informed or how much knowledge your D coordinator has of your position.
Let me say this right here. This is what makes Dan Quinn unique. Coach Belichick, Coach Tomlin, is their side of the football, they know. Because they go out and work players out.
Mm-hmm.
And if Coach Harris can't come up to Dan Quinn and say, hey, I want Shannon or I want Jesse, this is why I want Jesse and this is why I want Shannon. If you can't do that, Coach Quinn don't want you. He want to know what you can do and what he can possibly add to you. If you guessing on what a guy can do this late in the season, he ain't never coming off that practice squad. He's already designated for next year. They know what each one of these guys, they got an idea of which one of these, which each and every one of these guys can do. And talking to Coach Quinn, I mean, every time I talk to him, he's just like, hey, I like this guy, Nate. Be looking for him. And next thing you know, something happened, injury, blah, blah, he's there. And he's playing. So, and that's another thing that sold him with the ownership, is when he first got here, he told the ownership, I got a plan for every one of your guys. That impressed them. Because a lot of coaches will tell you they got a plan, but when training camp start, well, I thought you said it. Yeah, but he was good at breaking down talent. I mean, that's a unique thing. A lot of coaches can't really break down talent and see them in what they're in who they can possibly be. And more importantly, a lot of these guys are turning out just like he predicted.
Does anything about this Bills offensive line worry about in the run game?
They maulers, man. If they get going, and Jess, I ask you this, if they get going and the offensive coordinator Joe Brady say, hey, let's run this rock, will the quarterback stick with it? Or will he say, okay, we're going to run, but I'm going to do most of the running. You know what I'm saying?
I would say that the left side of that line was the kid named Dawkins. One of our guys, McGovern, is over that left.
I didn't realize he was there until I saw the roster.
Yeah, that left side of the line is kind of their. If there's a side that's their strength, it's that side.
And yeah, so, they even physical.
Yeah, so and Deion. When I say this, please don't go. Well, he's not. He reminds me the physicalness, the attitude, the violence. He reminds me of 71 in San Francisco, Trent. Right, he has that physical ability,
that boombox ability.
Yeah, he wants to.
Who's that? Who's this?
Dawkins, Deion Dawkins. Mm-hmm. He wants
to lay hands.
Yeah,
on
he want to get into a fight, like a real fight. Like he wants to fight in the sense of whatever you want to do. Now, going up against a talent like Micah Parsons, one of the things that helped what helped a guy like Tyron Smith early in his career, battling with DeMarcus Ware every single day in practice. You know what helps a guy like Deion Dawkins that prepares him for people like Micah Parsons? While Micah Parsons is a unique individual.
Von Miller.
Mm. Leonard Floyd. Mm. Right? Going up against premier pass rushers day in and day out that you can go over to him. You know, Von Miller puts on that pass rushing clinic, right? So he knows all of the tricks of the trade. So to be able to walk across the locker room and go, hey, dog, I'm playing Micah Parsons this week. Oh, yeah, so can we get some work? You know what I mean? Like,
if Parsons like to do this. He's like, okay.
Yeah, so can we work on that? Yeah. And he can kind of go, you know, Leonard Floyd or Vaughn, can you show me this?
They can emulate those guys.
Yeah. And so it gives them an opportunity to get some work on.
I used to hate to do that in practice. Hey, Leon, I'm playing against this guy. And Charles, I'm playing against this guy. You need some work? Okay. Yeah. I'll be like, you know what, man? I'll wait till the game.
That left side is their strong side of the line. And if they're going to run the football, and that's going to be Micah. Like, Micah is going to have to he's going to have to commit himself to saying, if they're going to run this way, that I have to be a run stopper first, and then that'll give me an opportunity or the privilege, as Dan Quinn says, to pass rush.
And I agree 100% there, brother, because it's going to come a point. It's no doubt Parsons is an elite pass rusher. But I wish somebody can get to him and say, bruh, if you ever get that run stopping ability, how can you be stopped? If he ever learns, I mean, now he don't have to because he's going to make millions and millions.
I'm about to say, he getting ready to be the highest paid player in NFL history. It's going to be hard to tell a dude who got the biggest contract on the defensive side.
For me, who have played against top, real, what I call complete players, they did it equal, and they were good at it. Mm. And they made plays in the run to change games, and they made plays in the pass. And if Micah, and as much as we love him, is out of, but boy, what if Micah started hitting you in the backfield on some runs? What would an offensive coordinator think then? Now you cut down that side of the field. I remember when Coach Landry was here, he used to be so fearful. You know, and this is a man of Christ, a man of God. He feared man over there. He was like, we can't run that play over there. Uh-uh. We ain't. When you get like that, you can stack your outside of your defense. Like, what you gonna do? That's like Dion, you know. The world, what do you say? The ocean covers 2/3 of the world.
75% of the world.
Yeah, and I got the other 25%.
The other 25% is covered by me.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah. Good stuff, fellas. Oh, interesting stat. Thank you, Kirk. Cowboys are 22nd in red zone defense at 58.8%, and Buffalo has the second rated offense in the red zone at 66.7. So
tight ends and Gabe Davis. Mm. I'm telling you.
Keep them out of the 20s. Yeah. Keep them out of the 20s. Could be trouble. All right, fellas.
Be a good game, man.
Tomorrow.
We got a show tomorrow.
Fun Phone Friday. Let's take some calls. Let's give some predictions.
Tomorrow,
yeah, why wouldn't we?
Because I'm thinking if it's about the fans, we really going to be about the fans?
Yeah. Right off the
Kurt, jump. Are you going to be about the fans?
Don't even send a rundown tomorrow.
Okay.
Just do calls. Because right. If you do a rundown, I'm going to try to get
I might not be here tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
Come on, man.
Where are you going?
Come on, bro.
We'll talk after the show?
Don't do this, man.
Good stuff, fellas. Kurt, good seeing you.
Don't do this, man.
Jesse, good seeing you. Nate, thanks for being here.
I hope you go to the doctor.
I won't tomorrow. By tomorrow. I can promise you that. Chris, thanks for keeping us on the air.
Josh.
Jazz, thanks for keeping Chris company. Josh, thank you for keeping us up on the socials. We will be back tomorrow with predictions.
You ain't going to be here tomorrow?
And phone calls. On.
All phone calls. Jesse won't be here.
Oh, yeah. You can talk tomorrow. Call
us. Yes, you can.
Bye-bye.
We out.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!